Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, guys, we got to put our trays up for takeoff.
Where's Dad?
Oh, he's in the back. We could only get three seats together.
Daddy has my pillow.
We'll get it later. Can you not put your feet up, please?
Why aren't we going?
We must be in line for takeoff.
Like security?
Well, that was a different line.
I have to go.
We just sat down.
But I have to go.
The seatbelt sign's on.
Why aren't we moving?
Hey, no picking.
We're just 15th in line for takeoff.
Son of a...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Skate Podcast, talking Bruins hockey with WEEI Bruins writers Scott McLaughlin, Bridget Prue, and Brian DeFelice. Lace them up for some Bees talk. It's Odyssey's The Skate Pod on WEEI.
Woo!
Welcome into episode 304 of the Skate Podcast. I am Brian DeFelice, joined by Bridget Prue and Scott McLaughlin. It's a happy Sunday because the Bruins did get a game one victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs at the TD Garden last night, 5-1. It's a tired Sunday for Bridget. You know, her and Scott were at the Garden until 1:30 last night doing post.
I was going to say, what, not a tired Sunday for me?
Oh, no, yeah, but You fell asleep when you got home. I didn't fall asleep till 3:30. And then I woke up at 6:30 for Sunday skate. So
well, that's not my fault. I mean,
yes, it is.
I slept like 2 to 6. I think I got an extra hour of sleep than you.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's the Bridget and Scott pissing contest of who got less sleep. They're both tired. They're both giving it their all. You know, double shifting today after Sunday skate early in the morning. Now we got the skate pod at
4:00. Fueled by Reese's.
Yeah, exactly. She's got the artificial sugar going. Mm-hmm. Little midday pick.
Are those Easter Reese's?
Yes, they are.
The holiday ones are always better.
They're good.
Scott's a Peeps guy. I don't know if you know that, Bridget.
I am not. I actually despise Peeps.
Okay.
What about candy corn?
No, gross.
All right. Well, let's just, you know, skip the candy talk and get right to the hockey talk. So again, like I said, 5-1 win, game one. Bridget and Scott, opening shifts. Let's get right into it.
Well, obviously the big topic is who starts in goal in game two. And you guys know I'm pro rotation and I'm not changing on that. I would go with Ullmark for game two, but I also think, I don't think there's a wrong answer yet. Like, to me, there's not really a wrong answer to this until one plan or the other isn't working. Like, until there's a crack in the armor,
which you won't know until there's a loss.
Right, because it's like you can justifiably choose a rotation, say, hey, this is what's worked the last 2 years, and then you can stick with that until someone has an off game. Or you can say Swayman was great in game one. He's been great against Toronto all year. Ride the hot hand and force the Maple Leafs to prove that they can beat Swayman. That also makes sense. And then the question becomes, okay, what do you do if and when they do beat Swayman? So to me, like, the more heated, as crazy as it sounds, because I feel like this has already been a pretty heated conversation for weeks and months on end. But I really feel like it gets turned up, like, once something starts to go awry. So to me, I'd go Ullmark. I'd go rotation because that's what I've thought is the best strategy for a while. And I don't see any reason to change. But am I going to, like, sit here and yell and scream if they start Swayman about it being a mistake? No, like, I don't think that's a mistake. I think that's a completely justifiable, logical decision.
Yeah, the same thing I said this morning was, I'm really okay if they start either of them. And that's why it's not like that's why it's okay to believe in the rotation, but also believe that Swayman is playing well, right? Both of those things can be true at the same time. The rotation has worked all season. I'm okay to see it for the first four games and then decide after that. But I told this to Scott and Razor, and Razor thought I was being wishy-washy. But this morning, after, you know, after getting 3 hours of sleep, I having a chance to try to wake myself up in the car, thinking back on the game, I'm thinking to myself, God, if there was any type of game that someone would have had to play to steal the net in the first game, that's what Swayman did.
See, this is why you got less sleep, because you're staying up, flip-flopping in your mind, couldn't decide. And I was convicted in my beliefs, and I slept peacefully.
I'm not flip-flopping at all. I think the rotation could work. I also think that Swayman played so well that it feels like it would throw something off to take him out. Brian, I don't know what you think. Maybe we could get more to this.
I'm gonna punt on my opinion for just a few minutes. We'll get through the opening shifts and we'll get back to it. So Bridget, why don't we go right to your opening shift?
Okay, so right now I'm working on a story about Jake DeBrusk and kind of how the playoffs are a time for him to be able to reset and focus on some of the things that are important to him at this time of year. Obviously, winning the Stanley Cup being a major one, but bringing his value up at the end of this contract year obviously has to be in the back of his mind as well. He starts out the playoffs with 2 goals, both on the power play. He also made a lot of really good plays surrounding those scoring opportunities. His effort was great. He was in the right places. He had a great game, and we can get into some of the stats about him against the Leafs and some of his playoff stats as well as we go throughout the podcast. But this season he had 40 points. Last season he had 50. He played 16 more games this season than he did last year. So the points like percentage, points per game was down for him. Not his worst season, but also a step back, right? And he was honest with the media. He came right out and when he answered Scott's question about being happy to be able to reset, he came right out and said that, obviously, I wasn't happy with my season, which was holding himself accountable. And I think he answered everything in the press conference very well after game one. Sounded humble, sounded to, you know, be self-reflective. And this could be the beginning of a big run for him if he can continue even just the stats that he had last playoffs. I'll pull him up now. It was only the 7 games, obviously, he had 6 points. If that's what it was, 4 goals and 2 assists. If that's what he does again this first round, I think you'd be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to be consistent here because I mentioned on an episode last week or the week before that even if Jake DeBrusk goes off in the postseason and has a incredible run here, I'm still not paying him probably what he's looking for. In an extension, I just think there's far too much inconsistency in the regular season. And I know the postseason matters 10 times, obviously, but I can't just turn the other way and neglect his inconsistencies in the last, you know, 3-4 seasons. But that's a conversation for a different day. And maybe he plays so incredible this postseason that I change my mind and I say, you know what, even if he is inconsistent as a scorer in the regular season, if he's going to be this postseason type player for them, knowing that they're always kind of going to be a postseason team, then maybe there's I'll change my tune. But again, that's for down the line. As far as last night, Jake DeBrusk was fantastic. And it has, again, and I feel like every time I talk about DeBrusk playing well, which does happen on occasion, I don't want to act like I'm the Grinch all the time with Jake DeBrusk. I always kind of say it's not just the scoring. He didn't have to score the 2 goals last night to notice that he was all over the place in a good way. And it just so happens that when you play that way, good things happen. And this kind of leads into my opening shift too, because I actually, my opening shift is that the Bruins were led by their depth in game one. I'm reluctant to call Jake DeBrusk their depth because I do think he is somebody who's relied upon to be a depth scorer. He should be a scorer, but Jake DeBrusk definitely led the way. I thought Pat Maroon led the way physically from a leadership standpoint, physicality standpoint, makes a very non-sexy but responsible play on the wall to lead to the Johnny Beecher goal. So Maroon, Beecher, Boquist lead in that first goal of the game. I thought Lauko had a great game. Obviously, DeBrusk with two goals. Carlo with the goal for the Bruins. So players that you don't expect necessarily to lead on the score sheet led the Bruins in the score sheet in this one. I thought Pasternak was quiet offensively. I thought Marchand was quiet offensively. McAvoy, he had his moments. But I think it's a good thing because there's going to be games where obviously these guys get it going. So it's good to know early on in the postseason, at least, that if the top guys aren't going, there could be some depth right there scoring. And when a depth scoring goes away, the top guys will be there. And I think that's a good recipe.
Yeah, for sure. Like that was absolutely one of the big takeaways from this game, right from, you know, the fourth line's first shift of the game scoring. I thought Beecher made really good plays in both zones all night. Maroon leads the team in hits. The third line, you know, didn't have a ton of chances offensively, but Lauko and Frederick each had 5 hits. Geeky had 3. And when the Leafs started to get some momentum in the third and cut it to 4-1, it was that line that responded and, you know, essentially put the game away and got momentum back on the Bruins' side. Geeky threw a huge hit on the forecheck and Nick Robertson. And then that line went to work and had over a minute of offensive zone time. That ends with Lauko drawing a penalty. So, yeah, like they stepped up when the Bruins needed it. So we know that bottom sixes, third lines in particular, can often decide playoff games, playoff series. You're going to need it to go on a run. So in that sense, you know, really encouraging start from the Bruins bottom six in this game.
Yeah, I thought that the third line brought a lot of energy. I think they made the right call with Lauko in instead of Van Riemsdyk. I think it was pretty clear the energy level that line had probably wouldn't have been quite as high if Van Riemsdyk was in there, just because that his level over the past 2 months, I would say, maybe a little bit less than that, just hasn't been there. And Lauko, that's one thing he always brings is the energy. And he had this moment after Pat Maroon throws Liljegren into the Bruins bench that you see Lauko hit him while he's in the bench, like while he's like all the way onto, I think it was like Trent Frederick's lap. Lauko punches him. Frederick and Coyle both go, "The hell, what are you doing?" He just was at a different level. And that's kind of how, and that was a good thing though. Obviously a good thing that he didn't get a penalty on that, because I think that that's what Coyle and Frederick were worried about. But he brought his intensity level up. And so that's what the third line was good for in game one. And then you look at the fourth line and Johnny Beecher, who wasn't even on the Bruins roster for the last game of the regular season, he was back on Providence's roster at the time, comes in and scores the first goal of the series. It was 2 minutes and 26 seconds into the game. He finishes off, which was a play that started with Maroon, goes to Boquist, goes to Beecher. So everyone on that fourth line was involved in the goal, got a point on the goal, and it set the tone from there on out. You felt the Bruins had the momentum. They hit like 3 more posts in the first, I think it was all in the first period. And you're just going, oh, wow. So they're just not getting these bounces. They could be up like, I don't know, 3-0. Eventually they were, and they did extend the lead, but it just felt like they were doing everything right. And it started with the tone being set by the Beecher goal, some huge hits by Maroon, and some good shifts by the third line.
I think an area where people may not give the Bruins a lot of credit going into this series is their team speed. I think that it's very easy to call Toronto's offense, faster, more skilled, whatever. But I think, and that's not untrue, but Jesper Boqvist can wheel. Johnny Beecher can wheel. Lauko can wheel. Up and down the lineup, like Heinen's a good skater. Zaka's a good skater. Pasta, Marchand, like DeBrusque. These guys can move, and they might not have up and down the lineup outside of Pasternak, like, you know, the dynamic supporting cast of Mitch Marner and William Nylander to support Auston Matthews, right? But the Bruins play at a high pace that I don't think people necessarily notice from afar. But one thing that I noticed in this game is that, yes, Toronto tried to set the tone early physically. You know, they're not going to be afraid of Boston, whatever. Same old song and dance of we've changed. And there's a difference between playing tough and playing disciplined. And clearly, Max Domi, Marchand, for whatever reason, is already it's almost like Domi's trying to get in Marchand and Boston's head before Marchand can do that to Toronto. But the effect of that is that Marchand's getting into their head. So that was something I noticed. And one other thing I noticed primarily in this game is that while Toronto has Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner and William Nylander when he's playing for them and John Tavares and others, I think Toronto is going to have a tough time in this series transitioning into offense from their D zone. I think that your forwards, they can't break the puck out by themselves to lead to offense. I look at Joel Edmondson and Labushkin and Jake McCabe and Simone Benoit. Like, they're not guys that move the puck as well as Boston's decor. So Boston's defense isn't just better than Toronto's defense defensively. They're also better in transition, getting the forwards the puck. So I wouldn't be too surprised if you were to see Toronto make a personnel change in the back end in game two, maybe bring in maybe a Mark Giordano, maybe a TJ Brody, just to kind of get some guys that might be able to transition the puck better for Toronto's forwards.
Yeah
Scott, how many defensemen did you say were practicing the other day? 11? Something ridiculous.
They had 10 at Friday's practice. Because they also have Cade Weber, who they just signed from BU, and Connor Timmins was the 10th. Yeah, I mean, like, Giordano and Brody are just sitting there, and it's like, those look like very odd names to see healthy scratched, but they're older, and they've slowed down. And, like, if you look into the analytics, like, they haven't been very good puck movers this season, which is probably why they're not in the lineup to start the series, is, you know, what was once the strength of both guys has not been a strength for much of the season. So, you know, you would think, like, those are the guys you bring in that to help with that. And if they can find their skating legs, and then maybe they still could be, but they really haven't been, which is why Toronto has kind of opted for Braun over, you know, finesse. Like, they're just putting in their biggest, strongest, hardest hitters. And Brian, like, you nailed it. Like, that's the trade-off, is they don't have a whole lot of puck moving back there. So, you know, on one thing before we go too far away that I wanted to mention on that, the Bruins' first goal, yes, all three members of the fourth line get involved and get on the score sheet. But even before that puck gets to Maroon, Hampus Lindholm takes a hit to move it to Brandon Carlo. Brandon Carlo takes a hit to move it up to Maroon. Start of a great night for that pairing. Carlo scores the second goal of the game. Lindholm picks up an assist on that. They're matched up against Auston Matthews much of the night. During their 5-on-5 minutes facing off against him, Bruins break even in shots, have an edge in scoring chances, you know, really limited what that Matthews line could do. And that, you know, Montgomery said after the game, like, those two have had success against Matthews going back this regular season and even last season. And, you know, I, like, when I dove into the numbers before the series, it's like, I didn't go back to last year, but just looking at the regular season games this year, you could see that, which is why I thought when things seemed like they were trending towards, like, oh, they're going to have Lindholm and McAvoy together, I thought that was a little odd, because to me, I was like, I think Lindholm-Carlo should be the matchup against Matthews. And sure enough, you know, as we were talking about in Sunday Skate this morning, like maybe it's just some misdirection from Montgomery and practice, you know, oh yeah, we're going to have Lindholm McAvoy together. He got asked like a bunch of questions about that in one of his press conferences, you know, which is always funny, like, cause he gives a serious answer and talks about how good it is to have two great defensemen on the ice at the same time. And then right out of the gate in game one, he does something different. So, but yeah, that's it. On home ice, the Bruins can get that matchup as much as they want. And it's going to be, that's one of the things, you know, Sheldon Keefe's going to have to try to make an adjustment for. And you're not really going to be able to get Matthews away from them without last change. So do you switch out one of his line mates? You know, do you put Mitch Marner on his line and say, well, if we can't get Matthews away from those guys, do we try to load up and give him, you know, a more offensive winger than Max Domi? Like, I could see something like that.
They went to Matthews with Marner and Tavares for like a shift or two in the third. But yeah, then they got, by the end of the game, they were back to their same lines that they started with. So they only tried it very briefly.
Yeah,
and
like some of that's just desperation of trying to come back. You're going to just throw all your best players on the ice, you know, for offensive zone faceoffs.
So I guess my question is, we're talking a little bit about adjustments that Toronto might have to make, but are there any personnel adjustments that you think the Bruins should try for next game? Because game two, and we can get to the goalie part of it later, I'm more talking about roster, like, you know, forwards, defensemen. Are there any adjustments that either of you would make to the lineup for game two?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You win 5-1. It's tough to really call for adjustments. I think the only real adjustment would be Wotherspoon in for somebody, maybe a Shattenkirk, but you don't want to do that because I thought, you know, Shattenkirk was fine for the most part, and also is part of the 1A 1B power play they have going on right now. So I don't, and up front, I don't see, no, I don't see any changes really after that win.
Yeah, I agree. I would just keep the same lineup. I thought everything kind of worked to plan. You got the matchups you wanted. Like, you know, Montgomery on Sunday. So the Bruins didn't practice on Sunday, but they had meetings at Warrior and had media availability. And Jim Montgomery did say, you know, he didn't think they generated enough five-on-five offense. He didn't think they held on to pucks enough in the offensive zone. So, you know, I'm sure he's looking for ways to do that, but I wouldn't think it requires lineup personnel changes. I think there's probably, you know, strategically things that you're trying to do different before. You know, it's not like you have like the greatest options to, you know, to really change that. Like Van Riems like can do that, but it's just been too long since we've seen it. Parker Weatherspoon doesn't help with that. So if he's kind of identifying that as like, here's an area where we want to be better for game two, I think you can do it with the lineup you already have.
Well, yeah. Toronto also plays with a level of speed that I don't think fits JVR's game necessarily right now. It's not that he couldn't play in that type of game, but I think Lauko right now, and again, right now you have Lauko with Frederick and Geeky, and you have Maroon with Beecher and Boqvist. On paper, you tell me which one's the fourth line. There really isn't one. They're kind of like, they both have a similar, I would say, ceiling on paper as a potential third line. Like it's, so they're deploying both of those lines. Well, actually, I shouldn't say this because I haven't checked the time on ice last night. How do those two lines stack up on 5-on-5 ice time compared to each other last night? Do we have those numbers at any point? That'd be good to know at some point, because if they're used equally, then I have less of an issue with Lauko on that line.
The third line did get more. So Frederick had just 5-on-5 ice time. Frederick had almost 13 minutes. Geeky just under 12. Lauko 11. And then all the fourth line is Beecher, Boqvist, Maroon were under 10. Beecher had the most, okay. 943. Boqvist 854. Maroon 706.
Well, yeah, so you're given the even strength,
right?
What, yeah, because the total is
more. And but that's more telling, right? Because they will use certain guys in certain situations on special teams. But so okay, so they are using that third line more than that fourth line at even strength. I guess, Bridget, to circle it back to your original question, because right now I agree, like JVR hasn't done anything to come into this series. And I just don't think that what I was getting to with the speed factor is if you're playing Florida, maybe, or like Washington, I don't know, somebody like that. But I think the speed element, the Bruins like Lauko's speed and physicality. But if Justin Brazeau were healthy, I do think that, or let me put it this way. If the Bruins if they win game two, say, and Brazo's healthy for game three, I do think they might put him back into the lineup at some point, like, and Maroon and Lauko would come out. So maybe you put up Maroon with Frederick and Geeky, and you put Brazeau back with Beecher and Boqvist, or vice versa. But I do think that's the only personnel change that the Bruins would elect to go to right now. It's just that Brazeau's not healthy, and so it's not an option at the moment.
Yeah. And well, then here comes the other obvious question. If everything worked so well in game one and you don't want to make any personnel changes in terms of skaters, but do you want to make one in net?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm really trying to be respectful because I'm really not shitting on the theory of a goalie rotation. I just don't think that it should be one on one off right now. I think, like, so there was a Twitter poll on WEEI last night after the game. I think there was around 800 votes or something like that. And I think it was 60-40, something like that, in favor of going with Swayman in game two versus Allmark in game one, in game two.
It was actually closer than that. It was like 54.5%, or was it? It was just about, we'll just call it 55% Swayman, 45% Allmark.
Yeah, that's where it's at. 55-45.
Okay. So, Scott, because Bridget seems to be a little bit on the fence, I'll ask you real quick.
Well, I'm not on the fence. I want Swayman to start game two.
Okay. So come over
but
to the
But I'm also not saying you have to keep with them the whole time. So
no. Okay. And I want to make this very clear. I'm not saying that either. Like I said a minute ago, I'm not anti-rotation. But I think it's not every other game or bust. So, Scott, let me ask you a question. And I mean this seriously. Jeremy Swayman has played 4 games against Toronto this year. He's given up 5 goals. That includes the 5-1 victory over Toronto in game 1. Game 2, you want to take him out. Because and before you answer, like I'm really not trying to be a wise ass, but in my opinion, if you play Swayman in game 2 or Swayman has confidence against Toronto, clearly. And right now, there might be a bit of a mental hurdle with Toronto playing against Swayman. So if you play Ullmark in game 2, after Swayman has played Toronto 4 times this year, giving up 5 goals, including 1 in game 1, and Ullmark goes in game 2, and he gets lit the fuck up, and you give Toronto confidence, and you give them their scoring touchback, and you even the series. Like, with all due respect, are you serious with that? You and the other 45%? And real quick, you can put Swayman in game 2 and lose, and then put Ullmark in game 3. Like, if you put Ullmark in game 2 and lose, and it goes to 1-1, I just think if you're going to go to 1-1 in the series, it should be because they beat Swayman, not Ullmark. It's and I'm not even trying to be confrontational. I think you're fucking crazy. I really do.
With all due respect, you're
with
fucking
all due
crazy
with all down. Due respect, I think you're fucking insane. I really do. Goalier has given up 5 goals in 4 games against the team, and you want to put in the other guy in game 2. If anybody should be talking about goalies for game 2, it should be the team that lost 5-1. And again, I'm not
saying they also are, by the way, for very different reasons.
I'm not saying not to play Linus Ullmark in game 3. What I'm saying is, and it's a very simple stance, go with Swayman in this particular series until he loses. I think you avoid all controversy. If he loses game 2, bam, Ullmark game 3, rotation on.
Yeah, I agree with Brian.
I think that's a valid stance. I'm not going to call you fucking insane, but
I'll call you fucking insane, you son of a bitch. I'm just
no time.
Listen, I've watched the rotation work for 2 years. I've watched it raise both goalies' level of play. I've watched them be refreshed. I've seen them get used to it. I saw the Bruins do it for the last 25 regular season games. Neither goalie has played back-to-back games in 2 months. And I just think it works. So my stance is the same as it was last year, which is why am I stopping something that works so well come the playoffs?
We don't know that it works in the postseason. Now I know your response. They haven't tried it.
I got it.
I know. I understand. But Scott, seriously, if
we also don't know that riding Swayman works in the playoffs.
But I know, but I'm not saying to ride him. I'm saying to play him.
Neither
in game
one of these
two.
Goalies has won a playoff series.
I'm not saying to ride Swayman. I'm saying to play him in game 2. I'm very much going with what you guys are saying, which is take it one game at a time. Like, I'm not saying to not play Ullmark in game 3. Even if Swayman wins game 2, I'm not even saying don't go Ullmark in game 3. I'm saying specifically in game 2, where you have a chance to take a stranglehold on the series 2-0 versus 1-1. If you play Ullmark and the Bruins lose and it's because of his play, and it brings Toronto back to the series 1-1, and they get confident with the puck and they win the series, you have to tell me right now, you'd be sitting there all summer being like, that's a bad choice.
I'm not operating from a position of what I'm of like the worst case scenario that I'm afraid of. I'm operating from.
Yeah, but why would you look at all angles?
I'm operating from a position of I have this really good thing that works, that I believe in, and so I'm going to continue to use it. That's how I feel. Like I've watched a very successful goalie rotation for 2 years, and I believe in it, and I want to see it in the playoffs because I believe it can also work in the playoffs.
I feel like this has become like the divisiveness level of politics.
Well, here's why it's frustrating. Despite me saying to go Swayman in game two, I'm not saying no to the goalie rotation. I think if Swayman were to go in game two and lose, and you come back in game three with another 1A type goalie, that's the beauty of having these guys. But to do it when he just won 5-1 and has given up 5 goals all year against Toronto, like that specific matchup works. Maybe against Florida you do one other game, but specifically with Toronto, I just think it's like it's so obvious Swayman has something on these guys. It's like, why are we talking about this right now? I'm serious. I don't get it.
But also, each time he's beaten Toronto, he didn't play the game before it. So, you know, go back to March.
I don't think that matters, Scott.
Oh,
I think
my
God.
They had a week off. That's since game 82. It's been, 6 days? Come on.
Yeah, I don't think that matters.
they rotate. Hold on. So now the rotation hasn't helped either goalie stay at the top of their game? That's what we're saying?
No, that's not it at all. Just the fact that it's irrelevant that his wins against Toronto previously came after, we know what.
Why is that irrelevant? They came while they were rotating. That's incredibly relevant. That's what I'm talking about.
Fine. But
I disagree.
If you're pointing at that, I think it's an incredibly weak argument. I think that's
ridiculous.
All right, well, fine. We'll just throw out the last 2 years. All right, that's good. But let's do what we did last year. Let's try to ride one goalie for a series and wait until game seven to change.
I disagreed with riding one goalie last year. I thought Ullmark should have been gone after game five. I mean, I'm not saying not to play both goalies. I'm saying right now, with Toronto is playing with such little confidence offensively against Swayman and the Bruins, if you put in a different look and they have success against Ullmark, then your response is, okay, fine, no problem. Go back to Swayman in game three and whatever. But it's like at that point, maybe now Swayman's off. Like, I don't see why it's so controversial to say go with the guy that's played well against Toronto just in game two to see if you can get a cushion in the series.
I think that's really the important part here is that if Swayman does the exact same thing again in game two, you're up 2-0 on a series, and that really puts the pressure on Toronto. Like it's because of the time it is in the series and how well the result was the first time. Like you need to not make a mistake with game two because, you know, you're back. Game one doesn't mean anything. If you blow game two, like you're back to square one, you're back to where you started out. So you need to build on the lead. And it looked good in game one. And just being there in the building and also talking to him after the game, being around him, watching the other parts that are in between whistles or like how he's looking in his net, like how calm and comfortable he was looking and how confident he was. Like, that's a guy that if you take him out of the net right now, you risk deflating that.
What if before the series started, it was very clearly laid out to both goalies that were rotating the first two games?
I don't know if that's what happened, though.
None of us do, because they won't tell us. I'm saying, what if, because Jim Montgomery said they had a plan, Don Sweeney said they had a plan. What if that was the plan? Then why would Swayman mentally be off if he knew going in that was the plan?
I think that in theory, Scott, I think like if they did do that, I think that's fine. And maybe mentally he should be prepared for game three if that's the case. But it happens to all of us all the time in life. We're mentally prepared for something, but our body feels differently. Like I'll just ask you this way. So Swayman just played last night on Saturday, and so he's feeling good about his game. Okay, Ullmark hasn't played since that stinker against Ottawa in game 82 on Tuesday, whatever it was. Scott, for game two, specifically game two, Do you think Allmark gives you a better chance to win that game than Swayman? If the answer is no or 50-50, then why not go with Swayman? And I don't know how it could be. I don't know how you could. I don't know how anyone. And the reason why it's controversial, Scott, is because 45% of people want Allmark in and 55% want Swayman. So that's why it's controversial. If the if people ask themselves that question, who gives the Bruins a better chance to win just game two? And the answer is Allmark. I don't know how they think that. That's all they. That's the only question that should be at hand here going into game two.
Because Swayman hasn't played back to back games in 2 months.
No, see now, that's not. I think
that's not how I would have approached a stretch run. Like I would have ridden one goalie or the other for three games at some point.
So you didn't answer the question though. You didn't answer the question. Who gives them a better chance to win game two?
Lena Selmark.
Game two. No.
Yeah, and he's going to say that so that his argument stands. But I don't want to speak for Scott, and you can tell me I'm lying, but I think in your heart of hearts, you think the answer is Swayman, and you're being stubborn with the goalie rotation. And I don't get it because I think the goalie rotation is very much alive, even if Swayman plays game two. I think it's just try to get yourself one game at a time who is a better goalie for that game. And there's a lot of factors at play. Like Bridget mentioned, time in the series. If Allmark goes in and they lose, now it's 1-1. If Swayman goes in and they lose and it's 1-1, at least you lost with the guy that like has shown he's good against this team.
Yeah.
Ultimately for me, what it comes back to is I believe in the rotation. I believe in what I've seen for 2 years. And I think they are both at their best when they're rotating. And until one of them gives me a reason
okay,
not to keep rotating, I'm going to rotate.
It doesn't have to be a 50-50 though, Scott. Like when I say I'm pro rotation, I mean, I'm pro playing both guys when it seems like the right thing to do to make a change. I'm not saying go one and then one and then one.
On rotation. That's going game by game. It's not a rotation.
Okay. But that's not how it's been in the past though. In the past, it's guys they have a number one and that's the guy. Unless someone plays awful, horrible, like,
yes,
it's still different.
But that's not what this team has done. This team rotates goalies. They did it the last quarter
here, plus of the season. This is what I'll say, and I have a lot of more things to yell at you, but and I'm tired. But so the first being, if you have two goalies, right, two really good goalies, and that's a strength that you have, and you didn't get rid of one at the trade deadline for one reason or another, the reported reason was because Allmark denied the trade, but you have these two goalies, and that's an asset because other teams don't have that, right? The only way you put that to work for yourself is if you find a way to use them the right way.
And I think they have.
Scott, I'm talking. And there's a hybrid version.
Atta girl.
There's a hybrid version that is more equipped for the playoffs than just a 50-50 split.
Then why didn't they try a hybrid version in the regular season?
They tried to trade Allmark's ass. He wouldn't go. He wouldn't leave. All right,
then why didn't they hybrid it after that? Like,
because you have to optimize the asset.
Because Jim Montgomery, after that, said that down the stretch, they would consider playing someone three games in a row at some point. He said that. And then they didn't do it. They decided to keep rotating. Why? Why did they decide to do it? Do you think it's maybe because they said, hey, you know what? Actually, we think this is the best way to keep both goalies at the top of their game.
Do you think that Jim Montgomery is willing to die on the hill that you're currently willing to die on right now? Like, he is not going to risk his entire coaching career when something as obvious as this,
Bridget, what do you think?
In the face, I'm not done, is looking him in the face. Like, you think he's going to die on the 50-50 split for his, like, the second, first round exit?
What do you think's going to happen to Jim Montgomery if, for the second year in a row, he rotates all regular season, ditches it in the playoffs, and they lose in the first round?
But no one here is saying to
ditch it. I'll tell you what I think. I think he's going to get fired. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
No one's saying to ditch the goalie usage. It's just a matter of, like, Linus Ullmark hasn't played in almost a week. I can see Austin Matthews coming down the right wing side and snapping one over his shoulder because he hasn't been in the game. And Swayman just played the guys 2 nights ago and has played well all year against them. And I just think just game two, Swayman, game three, Allmark, fine. Maybe even game four. But like, give your chill. Again,
if you're not if you're not playing Ulmer because he hasn't played in almost a week, then why on earth would you play him in game 3, 4, or 5 when it's been a because week and a half or 2 weeks?
Because at least you've – okay, a couple reasons. Because if the Bruins win game 2, now at least you have a 2-game cushion in the series, a little bit more leash there. And if Swayman loses game 2, Allmark's going in because Swayman didn't get the job done, insert goalie rotation. Like, I think that people who want to put in Allmark in game 2, he better win. And he better win with flying colors, because if he loses that game, and if the Bruins lose the game and it's primarily because of poor goalie play, and Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner are feeling really good about themselves, and they come back to win the series, you guys should all have egg on your face all offseason. And I'm not saying not to play Allmark in this series. I'm just saying game 2 specifically, just go with Swayman again. That's it. That's it.
Okay, well, then I want it on the record that if they do start Swayman game 2 and he loses, I'm going to dance on your grave. And
oh, no.
Don't make a mistake.
Oh, no. Dance on the grave of the goalie who gave up 5 goals in 4 games. He lost the game. Oh, no. Oh, no. How? Look at the egg on my face there. Again, it's like, I don't think that's not a controversial take by me. There's a reason why Andrew Raycroft is telling you guys.
It's not. And that was my opening. Like, we're yelling about this, but my opening shift was, I actually don't think it's controversial. Like, I don't think whatever they do in game, in my opinion, whatever they do in game 2, I don't think is wrong, quote unquote wrong. I think wrong decisions come when plan A starts to go sideways and you don't adjust quick enough. I don't get is why you think rotating is so controversial. Like, after 2 years of it,
we don't think rotating is controversial. We think game 2, Swayman should start.
Yeah, those, so don't rotate.
Not against the rotate. I don't know. Scott, starting who
two,
are you?
Two games
who
in is row,
this?
Not rotating.
I
who
think,
is this?
I think my goalie rotation, in my head, my goalie rotation is as soon as a goalie loses, next guy goes in.
Yes.
No ifs, ands, or buts. That's a rotation.
What if it's 1-0 in overtime?
I'm not playing the what if game, Scott.
Again, if it's 1-0 in overtime, it would depend on how that goalie played. If he had 55 saves and his team had 20 shots, it's a different story. But to be consistent, fine, go to the next guy.
Okay, so then I'll throw to you with the same hypothetical I threw at Razor. All right, you start Swayman game 2.
Yep.
Bruins win 5-4. He gave up 2 soft ones.
Yep.
So you're sticking with him game 3 because he's still winning?
No, I'm going with Allmark. It really is a feel thing. It's a game by game thing.
Yep.
Like the game is played by humans, and in that situation, Scott, now the whole he hasn't played back-to-back games all year, that's where it comes into play. I don't think playing back-to-back games over the course of 3 or 4 days is that taxing on a professional athlete. But that is where I would say, yes, they're used to playing evenly. Allmark goes in now. I'm just saying, like, I think the series is so vulnerable when it's 1-0. Like, if Toronto wins game 2 and it's because of Allmark's poor play, I just think that it will go down as like the most head-scratch thing. Teams,
after the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Again, I've made my point. Andrew Raycroft, former NHL goalie, former Calder winner, is saying it's absolutely insane. Henrik Lundqvist is saying on TNT last night, he's scratching his head at everybody who would even contemplate taking out Swayman, because they understand that the game is played by humans and there's feel, and it's not played strictly by statistics and analytics and, oh, they split most of the regular season. It's a different game for the players. Why is not a different game for the goalie?
And I highly doubt they told them before the series started, these are the days you're playing and these are the games you're not, because it feels like they wanted that flexibility to do it game by game, like we're talking about. And by the way, Scott, you said, oh, what if they already told Ullmark he's in next game and Swayman knows he's sitting, he probably won't be as upset about it. Did you listen to his comments after the game? Like, well, I shouldn't say it that way. I know you did. Like when you listen to what he said about playing, did he sound like a guy that thought he should come out?
I think he sounded like a guy who really wanted a game one start, who had never had one in his career.
Yeah, and he killed it. He did great, and absolutely, he sounded like no. Neither of these goalies wants to sit at all.
You know what would have worked last year?
So.
You know what would have worked last year against Florida, right? The Bruins are up 3-1 in that series. Okay, they lose game five the way they did on a huge mistake by the goaltender, by the way. If Swayman went in the next game, which is what I would have done then, and that's what I would do now too, the Bruins win the series. But they stuck with the one guy too long, Scott. It's about knowing when to do it. And if Swayman played last night and like the Bruins lost 4-2 and it was at least one or two stinkers, yeah, Ullmark's playing game two. But it's because of the way that he won and has played all year against Toronto, and the fact that it's only 1-0. If they go up 2-0 and you want to give Ullmark that game three start, you have a little bit more leash. And I'm not even like trying to like mansplain to you, because I know that
you're,
you are like
to Scott.
Yeah, I'm. It sounds like I'm coming down on Scott. I don't. Scott is not as stubborn as maybe my argument is making him seem. I'm just
no. He's being stubborn.
I feel the need to defend the 45%. You know, last week I had Bridget on my side. She flip flopped. So
I didn't flip flop.
I'm Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards here.
It's just it's
in there with my sword.
I understand.
Yeah, here he goes. He's making a Game of Thrones reference.
I look, and again, part of the regular season is so much different. Like the travel schedule is different. You're playing teams on back to backs. You're on back to backs. Like you're not game planning for teams like you are for a playoff series. There's a lot of different things here, and I just think that when a goaltender has had the success he's had against not only a team, the highest offensive scoring team in the NHL all year, and then he gives up one goal in game five, one goal in game one, and they win 5-1, and I hear 45% of people saying to go with the next guy? Because they split. Guys, seriously, come on.
Because we believe in the rotation.
There's a such thing called nuance. Have we heard of nuance?
I believe that the Bruins...
We don't do nuance on sports radio, bro.
I believe that the Boston Bruins have two awesome goaltenders, and I have a ton of confidence in Linus Ullmark that if they put him in game two, he's going to play great and they're going to win. But if the Bruins are going to lose game two, it better be because the guy who has shown he can do it against that team fails and not the other guy. I just think it's too... There's nothing wrong with trying to get a 2-0 cushion. I think Swayman's the guy to give you the best chance to win game two. That's basically where I'm coming from. I'm not coming at it from anti-split, anti-rotation, or pro ride the guy. I'm simply looking at who gives him a better chance to win the next game. And right now it's Swayman. I don't know how you could argue that. I'm not saying that you are. You're just, you want to see the rotation, and I get it. But I don't see here the way I see it. Swayman plays game two. They either win, go up 2-0, and then Ullmark's in game three, or Swayman goes in, they lose, and it's 1-1, and now it's Swayman, you're in game three because the rotation's back on track.
Well, wait, so in that world, if Swayman does what he just did in game one and they're up 2-0, why are you going to Ullmark in game three?
Because I do think that at that point, Swayman's not used to playing three games in a row. It's even more so than not playing two in a row. There's travel involved. I think they can get on the plane and Ullmark can sit there and get in the zone and be like, I'm taking Toronto by storm.
And I think Allmark was the better road player as well. I'd have to go back to his stats, but I'm pretty sure he had a better road record. Yeah.
The biggest thing for me is not having Austin Matthews going against a goalie that hasn't played in the week and getting hot. Like, if he's going to get hot against the guy that's stopped you all year so far. That's my biggest thing is, like, the second that Toronto's top guys get confident, it changes things. And if they're going to get confident, it's better to do it. I can stomach it more if they do it against the guy that stopped them all year as opposed to a guy that's been on the bench for a week and Allmark might not be sharp off the hop. And that's all it takes for Matthews to fucking put two in. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe I'm crazy. Bridget, maybe we're crazy. Maybe we're the crazy ones.
I would never call myself crazy. No, I call myself crazy all the time, actually. But one other thing I want to bring up because it feels relevant is that no matter what, I mean, if you talk to Razor, if you talk to any of the other former goalies that are analysts that are, you know, involved in media now, they're going to tell you the same thing. Everybody wants to play every game in the playoffs, right? Like, there's no, hey, I'm cool with coming out. Swayman wants to win that net every night. So mentally, no matter if he's used to the rotation and he's done it all regular season, it feels different for him this year because if he plays really well and he's the guy this playoffs, he makes significantly more money than if he's just a guy in the rotation. Like, this has monetary and huge career implications for Jeremy Swayman.
Yeah, I'm coming at it from, like, the perspective of Bruins coaches. I'm not worried about what's best for Jeremy Swayman's future. Like, I'm worried about what's
your I'm talking about team. Worry about Jeremy Swayman's mental state in terms of what conditions he's going to play best under.
Okay, well, if sitting game two and then getting back in for game three sends Jeremy Swayman into a nervous breakdown, then
which I'm not resigning him anyway, so which no I don't problem. Think it will, but, like, it seems like they're in a weird situation with both of their goalies where one they were trying to trade, the other one they went through a very contentious arbitration with in the previous offseason, who has talked about it like he has PTSD from it. But it's just such a complicated goalie situation. Maybe we're all overcomplicating it, but
Scott, can you remind me of your what's your plan again for the postseason? Because earlier you mentioned to me that Swayman shouldn't start game two because he's not used to playing back to back. But if I recall, you said all along you want to see the goalies rotate for the first few games and then, like, go kind of game by game, and that could include a guy going back to back. So why are you cherry picking when to use that argument? Because you're not.
It's what we're starting. Like, we're just starting from two different places. I think we're both open to changing if needed. I'm just saying I'm riding a rotation until I have a reason not to.
Right, and I'm
while
saying,
you're going
to start a goalie until he gives me reason not to.
Yeah,
it's the same.
Like, yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I'll say this just to kind of, like, put a bow on my opinion on it. I'm just very focused on giving a best chance to win the next game. If Swayman starts game two, no matter what, I want Allmark in game three. So just to clarify, like, I'm not anti-rotation. It's just a matter of, like, it doesn't have to be every other, like, everybody's talking about it. Like, they're so anal. Oh, it'll throw Allmark and Swayman into a tailspin if they're not rotating every other game. It's like, guys, they're professional athletes. They could both play a game or two or three in a row if need be. And it's not a big deal, but
you know what I think?
Yeah.
I think we all need a Snickers.
Can you give me some of that chocolate to the screen, Bridget? What do you have? Reese's?
Yeah, I got some little bunny guys. These guys right here.
I'm telling you, you would think that the Bruins lost game one the way we're talking right now. It's such a fascinating it's really fascinating to me.
I want
to see the goalie rotation too. I want to see both goalies in the series. I just want to see the right guy in the right game. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Sway game two. All right. Is there anything else we want to scream at each other about before we're done?
I don't think so. Nylander practice updates, meeting updates. Any newsworthy items before we sign off here? I feel bad. We haven't really talked about the good stuff from the Bruins. I mean, they played like Andrew. Pete played great.
Yeah, we covered DeBrus. We talked about the third and fourth lines.
Yeah.
We touched on Lindholm Carlo shutting down Matthews. And we covered. I mean, one thing actually. So I was just going to get to this anyways. If special teams ends up remaining like big advantage Bruins, that can make this a short series as much as anything.
Mm.
Bruins go 2-for-5 on the power play. Leafs 0-for-3. Both teams' power plays were struggling down the stretch. The difference is the Bruins have totally changed up their units and seemingly found something where now both units look pretty good. We saw, you know, that the Pasternak-Shattenkirk unit score against Ottawa after, I think they had also scored against, was it the Pittsburgh game when they first, when Shattenkirk first went in for McAvoy? And then game one against Toronto, it's the new McAvoy-Marchand unit with DeBrusk-Netfront that scores twice, both by Jake DeBrusk. So all of a sudden now the Bruins have two units that look pretty good. Meanwhile, the Leafs, their power play struggled down the stretch. They still haven't seemed to figure anything out. And they're the ones going against a way better penalty kill. The Bruins, one of the best penalty kills in the league. Leafs have struggled on the PK all year. Like, if the Leafs can't get their power play figured out real fast, that's the kind of thing that could, you know, really end up swinging this series in the Bruins' favor, especially if the Leafs are going to be undisciplined. Now, presumably, Sheldon Keefe is, like, raking them over the coals about stupid penalties.
Mm. Well, he kind of did in the press conference already.
Yeah. So you would think we'll see a little more discipline from the Leafs, but if they can't stay out of the box, like, they might be in trouble.
I mean, I think the Bruins and Brad Marchand in particular kind of has Toronto right where they want them, because Domi and Bertuzzi, they're trying to flex their muscle early on in the series, and they're skating to the penalty box. The Bruins are scoring the power play, and now their head coach is calling them out for. So now, you think Max Domi is going to be hacking Marchand off the faceoffs next game? No. Like, and now Marchand knows that, so now he's going to take his little liberties here because he knows Domi's in the doghouse with his coach. And I just think that I think Domi is I think he's trying to teach the teacher some things, but he's still the student a little bit.
Would you consider how well they played on the power play a game one surprise, or are you thinking maybe like, I feel like one goal would have been like, yeah, but two goals on the power play, I think that's a little bit on the surprising side.
Yeah, a little bit. And the fact that it was that second unit, you know, I'm calling, I guess, the McAvoy Martian unit, the second one, but that was the one that, you know, we really hadn't seen get going yet. So for them to break through twice, yeah, I guess I'd say that was a little bit of a game one surprise.
You know what I'm not surprised about, but just really happy to see come to fruition, is the leadership and the playoff experience of Pat Maroon. That was his first game, by the way, last night, playing as a Boston Bruin in front of the Boston Bruins faithful. Like, he's only played two games, both on the road. So for him to come in a playoff environment and play the way he did, you look at him and you say, yeah, he's been there. He's done that. He knows when to pick his spots. He knows when to get on the forecheck and just not even put a guy through the boards, but just like lean on him. And he also put the guys over the boards too. But I wasn't surprised in the least to see Pat Maroon do what he does best in that situation. But I am surprised in the sense that he's coming off back surgery and it looks like he hasn't missed a beat. So in that sense, it's surprising.
I'm going to shameless plug the article that I spent all my time last night on until 1:30 a.m. that I wrote a story about Pat Maroon last night. That's why I didn't get a lot of sleep. So it talked about, you know, some of the things that the players, Carlo, Marchand, and then Maroon himself talking about, like the leadership and what he was saying on the bench and why he's brings that like besides the physicality, why he brings such a valuable like veteran presence for them as a leader.
Well, I can't wait to read that. Very much looking forward to that.
Yeah. It also has that nice video of him hitting Liljegren. So in case you just want to find the Liljegren hit, It's also in there.
Is there a picture of you guys at the popcorn stand?
Oh, yeah. I have all the behind the scenes shots of Scott getting popcorn, Scott taking pictures of popcorn.
Now with Maroon.
Oh, with Maroon? Well, yeah, he's
talk about your ninth floor meeting.
No, I saw Patra. Maroon was on the ice, so Patra, nice. Never seen him go for the popcorn, but you know.
Oh boy, Bridget, you know what I'm trying to do right now? I'm trying to think of how I'm gonna spin my argument next podcast if Swayman plays game two and gets absolutely shelled. I don't think that would happen though, but I'll have to get creative in that situation.
I mean, if they do start Allmark, now like I'm thinking like the negative of my side, if they do start Allmark and he stinks and it's a tie series, I might just not show up, guys.
I was going to say, he's going to slink into a hole somewhere. Just like,
I mean, Scott, I would love to live in that world of yours where there's no downside to things. Oh, yeah, rotate the goalies. They're both going to play Osman and win. Like, no, of course Allmark's going to win. And maybe Allmark does play game two. Maybe he does win and rotation is very much on. But regardless, it's going to get to a point where, like, there's a game seven situation and you might have to break the rotation. So, that's kind of why I'm saying, like, I'm not focused too much on, like, one guy playing back-to-back games because that's going to happen at some point regardless. Even if they do stick to this rotation, there's going to be a point where one guy – they have to make a decision on one guy, you know. So I just think when you're starting the playoffs – look, you haven't gone out of the first round in 3 years. Can we not mess around with the goalie?
Have they rotated goalies in any of those series?
Oh no, we're not doing this again.
They were up 3-1 on Florida, and they should have gone with Swayman earlier, and they didn't. So again, I'm not saying not to rotate goalies. I'm saying the 50-50. It's too black and white thinking.
He's laughing at you because you took the bait that time, Brian.
I know. I know. Anyway, okay, so we're off and running in the postseason here. we're game one, Bruins win 5-1, and here we are talking about switching goalies. I think we're probably good to wrap this up, right?
Yeah, I can maybe go to sleep, finish my DeBrusque article. Yeah. Not in that order. Probably finish.
We got a set. So it's like 5:00 Sunday right now. And so there's a second game on right now. There's still two more playoff games to go. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to make it through that 10:00 game, though. I got to be honest, guys.
Mm. Oh, God. As soon as this gets posted, I'm out. I'm recording everything.
Florida went up 1-0 in Tampa, though.
Yes, they did. I watched that.
But yeah, bit of a dud, I would say, for game one. Not as much animosity as you would think between those two teams to start the series, especially knowing Florida's MO.
I think Florida has to play not – they can't play the full Florida style against a team that can make them pay on the power play the way that Tampa Bay can. Good so point. it kind of takes a little bit of their juice just to try to be more disciplined and not do what Max Domi did and not do what some of the other Leafs players arguably did against the Bruins. So,
which by the way is another getting too far ahead of ourselves here, but another reason for the Bruins to get their power play going and keep that up is, if you are going up against Florida in the second round, you want to be able to make them pay for, some of their shenanigans that could potentially land them in the box.
Yeah,
definitely. All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Episode 304, the Bruins and Maple Leafs are playing game two Monday night. So we'll be posting sometime on Tuesday, presumably. We'll try to upload an episode, after maybe each playoff game, if we can. I think that's probably the plan. So
might we be did two for game one.
That's true. So there might be a little bit more skate pod in your feed than our normal three episodes a week. So for Bruins fans out there, hockey fans, if there's any Maple Leafs fans listening, welcome to you guys. Oh man,
What? Yeah, this week I've gotten the meanest comments that I've ever had on any of my social media, and I do not think it's a coincidence.
Really?
I think we got some angry Leafs people tweeting and commenting and stupid.
Scott's burner accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that too. But also, I was going to say, so far the Leafs fans I've heard from on social media have actually been, like, just extremely defeated. Like, when I've tweeted out, like, Bruins lines, I get Leafs fans, like, quote tweeting who are like, we're going to lose to a team that has Pat Maroon and Danton Heinen on its first power play unit. And then, like, after the second goal last night, it's like, we're losing to Johnny Beecher and Brandon Carlo. they're just, like, they've accepted defeat, like, well before the series even started. And now Razor's talking to us about, like, they're turning on William Nylander.
Which is insane.
Apparently, they just don't believe that it's, like, actually a serious injury. And
It doesn't matter if it's not an injury. Like, it sometimes you have something happen in your life that you have to be safe rather than sorry with a diagnosis of something. Like, speaking personally, like, to get on him over something that they have no information about is crazy to me, because it's not always on the ice stuff. Like, people have health issues that come about out of nowhere because their body just does something weird or you know, freaky, and you just want to be safe. So for someone who's played 7 years in a row, why would you think this is the game he would want to miss because he's being a baby? Like, that's not really logical to me at all. So, and what I'm trying to say is I think that there's a mixed bag of Leafs fans. Some of them are, I was watching videos of Leafs fans that were out in Toronto watching the game on that big screen. And some of them were very, very confident that the Leafs were going to sweep the Bruins. There's a whole different myriad of types of fans, and just like there are here. So,
well, anything can happen, so a sweep one way or the other, technically possible, and fans go to bat for their team, sometimes irrationally, sometimes rationally. Bruins fans are guilty of the same.
Or go to bat against their team. It feels like that's kind of
it. Yeah, one or the other. Yeah. I mean, if I'm a Maple Leafs fan, like, I think that something, if they're to bow out in the first round this year, I think something would have to give up front, probably with Marner or something. And I would also sit there and say, and I know that might be a hot take because Marner is an incredible player, but you have to be able to allocate the rest of your roster. And I would also question if Morgan Rielly is up to snuff as a top D-man compared to other top D-men who win Stanley Cups. I think there's just a little bit to be desired, maybe on the back end and elsewhere, that maybe some of that salary cap is a little top heavy with some of those key guys. So it's
a goalie might be nice.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe that would be something worth investing in. Hell, they could trade for Ullmark in the offseason. Oh,
it's just last summer that Ilya Samsonov got more in arbitration than Jeremy Swayman.
Yep.
Maybe that's a goalie rotation. Maybe they trade for Ullmark mid-series and he rotates over to Toronto. That'd be a tough situation for goalie hugs there.
Oh, yeah, no.
Obviously joking. We love Ullmark, but...
By the way, I think we mentioned it earlier, but I'm tired and everything blends together. But William Nylander was on the ice Sunday at Warrior. Yes,
we did say that.
Yeah, for a very optional Leaf skate. So that probably only feeds into the criticism if he doesn't play game two. They're going to be like, he was on the ice. What's holding him back?
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see how that plays out. Bridget, I don't know about you. I feel like this might be the most animated, most passionate I feel about the goalie situation all playoffs. It's just to get him out of the gate here. I might
be cool. What happened to the Brian who wasn't going to talk about the goalies anymore?
Well, then I heard everybody saying that you got to go with Ullmark. And I'm just sitting like, what are you guys talking about? You're right. I gotta get back to that. Well, because it's simply if you go with the guy that hasn't shown it against the team,
Scott,
this team.
You asked them last time on 420, and it's not 420 anymore. So
I just don't know how Bruins fans could live with themselves if Ullmark goes in and sucks and they lose a series because you went with the wrong guy. It's like, but anyway, yeah, let's sign off because I can't do this anymore. I really cannot. I can't do this.
I'm looking forward to hearing what you say when we log on Tuesday morning and the Bruins are up 2-0 and Linus Ullmark just shut them out in game two.
It's not going to happen.
That's my prediction. That's an official prediction.
There's no way the Leafs play as bad as they did in game one, right? So I'm not predicting a shutout, no matter who's in that.
Here's my biggest gripe is that people are acting like, if that were the case, Scott, like, fine. But people are acting like no matter what happens in any game, they're just going to rotate. Are we just not going to pay attention to what happens in these games? We're just going to stick to the rotation no matter what. And then your response is, no, we're going to go by feel eventually. Well, I'm just going by feel a little bit earlier than you, I guess. That's all I'm saying. Bridget, I can't.
Like, we got you a third time.
You gotta get please for myself and everybody listening.
Look at his face.
I think it's from the coffee. Probably it's hot in here. I just can't do it anymore.
No, I'm talking about Scott. He's got a Joker grin on his face right now.
He just likes to watch the world burn, is all.
He lights it on fire and then he just watches it burn.
All right. Episode 3 of 4 is officially in the books.
Wait. One last thought. Scott, can you imagine if this goes game 6, we get all the writers in the bus? Like, I think we mentioned this before, potential of getting a bunch of the Boston writers in a van. And then we just start the ride by just going, okay, who plays in that game 6? And then just we fight the entire 8.5 hours to Canada.
Well, that's the beauty of it, Bridget. You talk to anybody who's ever played the game at the NHL level, and especially goalies, and they're all saying one thing, and then all the hockey writers are saying another thing. So who am I gonna who's correct here? The hockey writers or the goalie?
I guarantee you all of the writers that we put
what
in
the hell does Henrik Lundqvist know? I'm smarter than him and better looking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, Scott.
He's got
and better fashion too.
Scott's got a point there. He's got a point there. Much better hair too. All right. All right. We gotta go. Thank you everybody for listening. And we will talk to you after game 2.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired. Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.